once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in the name above every other name, the name of Jesus, at which every knee bows, every tongue confesses that He indeed is Lord. Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, bright and morning star, King of kings, Lord of lords, master above all of this. You know, it's funny, I was hanging out with my buddy the other day, and there was a show on where they were breaking down how much everything in America was worth, and they were talking about how much the land was worth, and the people were worth, and the mineral resources were worth, and all of the things, and all of the value that they were ascribing a monetary value to everything, including even the people themselves and their bodies and their bone marrow, and they went on and on and on to try to show the value of what it was per person in that nation. And you know, the interesting thing is, Jesus, when the devil was trying to tempt him, he offered him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now, he said they're mine to give. That world system was his to give. And it's interesting because, you know, in that show, as I was watching it, and they're breaking down the different values of this and the values of that, and Jesus was offered the entire thing that was under the authority of the devil in exchange for one thing, which was, bow down and worship me. Of your free will, give your allegiance over to me and my system. And if you do that, you can have it all. I mean, that was the coup de grace. That was the big, the final, all the chips on the table were in for the devil in that last hand, and that attempt didn't work. Because what did Jesus say? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall you serve. You have no other gods before Him. See, the children of God, they refuse to bow their knee to anybody but the King of Kings. That was what got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tossed into the fiery furnace. That was what, now, you know, God showed that He was higher than all of that too. That was what Jesus repulsed, was repulsed by the devil with that offer. He just despised that offer. He said, get behind me, Satan. At any time that man would seek to exalt himself or put himself above the will of God. See, the call for us has been and always will be, you bow your knee before the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You pray for, so of your free will, of your choice, you choose to bow your knee before the King of Kings and to sign up for the test and the trial of your faith and the difficult path and all that it'll entail. You choose that. Because it doesn't matter, whatever it is, you found the pearl of great price. You found that which is worth everything. And nothing else in this world you desire more than Him. You know, I told you guys a little while back about that one quote from that guy who was a huge con man. It was a documentary I was watching, and he had said, when they were asking him, you know, how did he pull off all of these cons, and he just said, you know what? He said, everybody has something that they're willing, that everybody has, is willing to trade something for whatever it is that they're hungry for. And what was interesting about that was, you know, he would, as a con man, go and find out what it was that people were hungry for, and he would feed them that. And what happened with Jesus, when you remember when he was in the garden, and he was, and you know, the hour had come for him, and you know, Jesus said that, you know, that as the enemy was coming, that he had nothing in him. And you know, that test that comes, it looks to see, to search the heart of man. See, on a spiritual level, see, this is what's comical. On the natural level, people dress up, they wear suits, they put on ties, they drive fancy cars, they do all of these different things to look a certain way on the surface. But at the close of the day, when you encounter something in the realm of spirit, it sees in the realm of spirit. And so in the realm of spirit, something can tell what you are on that level. And that is the level that things are real. So you take a businessman that cheats on his wife. You take a businessman that has a heart full of corruption, hate, greed, deceit, lies, steals, kills, and destroys. He can do, on the natural, he can look the part, he can be very charitable, he can do all of these different things that get the accolades of man. But that's very short-lived, because when life is over, and even in this life, people begin to see the judgments for their actions and their and the consequences for that. But when this life is over, that which is within comes without. That which is true and real is seen for what it is. And see, that's the thing that most people don't want to deal with that. I think that's why a lot of people are afraid to die. Is because when you die, that's known. When you die, that's revealed. When you die, that is the point where you cross from this dream reality into what is real. Because the life after this one is the real one. This life is just a dream. You know, it's a shadow. It's a type. But this place is only a window of time, and it is not, this is not what's real. Look, where is everybody that was here 200 years ago? Where are they now? They've carried on. And where have they carried on to? They've carried on to that which is real. That which is true. That which is the ultimate reality. So when people get stuck on this life and this world, now they get in trouble. Now at the same time, God does care about what happens in this life and in this world, because this life is a dressing room for eternity. This life is the window of time that so much takes place. This life is the window of time that so much happens. And this is the place of choice and decision. Because if Jesus was to have bowed to the devil in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, if he would have bowed, it was a legitimate offer, but for a limited time. And, you know, everything that the enemy offers is for a limited time. Limited time offer. Act now. Hurry. Quickly. Quickly. Hurry up and do something dumb. Now, you know what? As you remain faithful to the Spirit of God, to the leading of Christ Jesus, as you look to Him for His will, His guidance, His plan and purpose to be manifested in and through your life, as you look to Him, He will guide you. He will care for you. He will lead you. He will carry you through. If you trust in Him, He will make a way where there seems to be no way. You know, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You know, don't worry about anything. You know, For me, one thing is I'm amazed how people will pray, but they won't really pray. They'll talk to God, but they don't really talk to Him. You know, that you've got things that are on your heart. You've got things that are on your mind. You've got things that are grieving your soul. You've got pain in your body. You've got things but you don't take them to Him. You talk to everybody else, but you don't talk to Him about it. The one that can help you. The one that can lead you. The one that can guide you. The one that can show you the way to go. See, you know, most people ask for the will of God so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. Whereas God has called His people to surrender themselves to His will and to trust Him. You know, I look back and there's been a lot of experiences that I've had that have not been the most pleasant experiences. But I know that throughout, I've always had a heart for whatever it was that God would have for me. I've always had a heart to walk with Him. I've always wanted to know Him. I've always wanted to be in His will, to please Him. That's always been important. It's always been the priority. But, you know, unless He leads the way, how would we know where to go? Unless He guides us, you know, what can we do? You know, what can we do unless God makes a way? You know why? Because in this life, the world and the world system, if it was not for the Spirit of God, we would have been destroyed so long ago. So long ago. There's no way that you and I would be able to even for this audio to go out and to reach you. It would not have happened. God has made a way in every situation, at every time, in every nation. He's made a way for what He desires to happen and to take place there. God has raised people up. God has established people in position. God has turned hearts when and where necessary. And He has continued His purposes moving forward in the earth. And without trust, without submission to the will of God, you and I would be put in, we go the wrong way. If you don't trust Him, you go the wrong way. Why? Because when you don't trust Him, then you try to do it yourself. And when you try to do it yourself, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, you have to. In order for all that God desires to be, that He desires for your heart and for your life to happen and to take place, you've got to trust Him and you've got to follow Him. See, the will of God is manifest in your life through obedience. The will of God is manifest in your life through following what it is that He's said and ordained for you. That's the way the will of God happens. Without that trust and without that obedience, you are left in a different place. Because obedience brings the reward. And you know, so much of what we've gone through have been such incredible stretches and tests of our heart, of our character, but that's been part of it. So you and I have to go through those things. You and I wouldn't pick Him either unless God was making that happen. See, He's got to orchestrate the fires of our testing, if you would. See, God had to orchestrate for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had to orchestrate Nebuchadnezzar. He had to set Nebuchadnezzar up to test them, to order for the nation, for everybody to bow their knee and play along. He had to order it and to reveal who in their hearts were really bowed before the world and who was not. And then to be able to show among those that were not, show himself strong, reveal himself. That was, see, that the circumstance revealed the truth. There's a lot of people that claim Christ. There's a lot of people that claim to follow him. There's a lot of people that say all kinds of things. But when the circumstance calls for it, they will sell you out. When the circumstance calls for it and reveals and requires something from them on a certain level, and it passes what it is that they anticipated, their comfort zone being ruptured, them having the chance now to lose all they built up in the world, at that point, then you see it. You see where their allegiances are. Whereas, for those that trust him, you will surrender anything and everything, whatever it is, doesn't matter. You would let it go for the sake of Christ. That is Zacchaeus. When salvation came to that house, when Jesus went into his house, because Jesus saw him up in the tree, says, Zacchaeus, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to your house for tea. And when Jesus met Zacchaeus and saw that man with a heart for the truth, he wanted it. He wanted it so bad he'd climb up into a tree just to get a glimpse of what freedom looked like. And God saw that heart and God made a way for that heart. He wouldn't leave him there. Would not leave him there. And when he came into that house, what did he do? You know, he paid everybody back. Double, four times if he cheated anybody. He paid him back. Squared things away. Made sure that things were right. And why? Because for him, what it was that he had found in Christ Jesus was worth more than whatever treasure he had amassed in the world. And he would sooner let go of everything that he had. He would sooner let go of everything he had earned, of every position, of every title, of every hope and every dream in this world, if it meant that he could have Christ Jesus. That is the heart that God is looking for. And that's why so many people had a hard time with Jesus. Because he didn't get stuck on people's outward appearance, which is what they focus on, by the way. They will look and see, do you match up with their expectation? Do you look the part? Do you embody in the natural everything that they want? Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And when God looked at the heart of Zacchaeus, he saw a heart that loved him. He saw a heart that would follow him. He saw a heart that was craving salvation, wanted to be saved, wanted to be set free from this world and everything that this world had been and been to him. But he didn't know. And when true freedom arrived and he saw it, he would never let that go. And those are the hearts of the people of God. When true freedom arrives, they don't let it go. They won't let it go. You know, they would rather sell everything that they have and give it to the poor, or give it to anybody that God tells them to, frankly. They just give it away. It doesn't matter. If it meant the sureness of being able to walk with him and to know him and to not lose that which they had found. And Jesus proved himself time and again for those that would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that their needs would be taken care of. And he took care of those. And he's continued to do that. For his people, for those that have sought him first, he is always taking care of them. They can be in the desert, doesn't matter. He'll take care of them. He will feed them from heaven if necessary, but he will care for his people. God's people are always taken care of. And the one of the ironies is, as the world slips, and as the world goes down, and as the world goes further and further from the truth and the mark of the high calling in Christ, at the same time, God will continue to take care of his people and raise them up stronger and stronger. You know, the world lies to itself all the time, but God raises his people up to do incredible things. And this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Know that in all that you do, that he is in control. Know that he watches over you, that he goes before you, his glory is your rear guard, and that in all things, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he has established us as his witnesses in the earth. He has established us as those that speak his truth. See, people are sometimes scared, and that's just because there's something left in them that still needs to be put to death. But because you got to be completely dead to this world in order to be completely alive in Christ. That's just how it works. But you know, just trust. Because as you trust him and allow him to take you to the end of yourself, when you come to the end of yourself, you're free. See, there's a big difference between being 95% there and 100% there. When you're 95% there, and that 5% is still those hopes, those dreams, that one thing that you didn't want to let go of, that is the thing that will hold you back. It's the thing that will keep you from what it is that God intends for you. Whereas when you're 100% all in, then whatever it is that he would give to you, whatever it is that he would extend, whatever it is that he would ask you to do, excuse me, hold on. Yeah, sorry, throw it there. No, whatever it is that he would ask you to do, you're fine with it. See, when people, when they refuse his will and they think they can go another way, there is no fulfillment in the way that they would choose. There is no blessing in any other way but him. And that's why when Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly," the abundant life comes on his terms. It comes as you and I follow him. The abundant life does not come when we go our own way, when we try to do our own thing. No, that is the way of death. That is the way of... There's no... You know what? When you try to do your own thing, when I try to do my own thing, you know what that is? That's very boring, incredibly dull, incredibly predictable, and dead. And the world loves it when people try to do their own thing. Because when they try to do their own thing, now they are easy to target, because man in his own deliberations, man in his own thinking, is quite predictable. if you are apart from the Spirit of God. If you're apart from the Spirit of God, your next move is absolutely scripted. If you're apart from the Spirit of God, whatever it is that you desire to do next is pretty much known and controlled, and even demonic powers and spirits leading and guiding and nudging you into those things to the point of destroying yourself and everybody else around you. Whereas, when you're led by the Spirit of God, nobody knows what you're going to do next. Nobody knows except the Spirit of God, because He's the one that leads and guides you. And you become unpredictable. You become very dangerous to their system. You become their worst nightmare. And that's why they try so hard. That's why they work so hard. The demonic works so hard to buy God's people off. So hard. See, the people of the world are cheap. They're easy to buy. Because they have a price. And, you know, it's easy to pay it. Whereas the children of God, you can't buy them. They go wherever the Father sends them. They do whatever He tells them to do. And they seek to please Him. And to fulfill the desire of His heart. And they are the ones that continue on. They are the ones that go from glory to glory and strength to strength. Whereas the worlders continue just to dry up and die. Twice dead. There's nothing there. And they admire each other on a very carnal based level. They give gifts to each other. They coddle each other. But at the end of the day, they would sooner bite and devour each other all the way into hell. Whereas the children of God, we would give up our time, our resource, our energy, that whatever it is, we would share. We would do whatever the Father tells us to do, including being a blessing to those that hurt us, those that curse us, those that have bad intention towards us. We pray for those that persecute us, for those that use us. Why? Because the Spirit of God quickens us too. And He puts it in His Word as well. Because at the end of the day, we hold no unforgiveness in our heart against anybody. The ultimate example is Jesus on the cross, surrounded by His crucifiers, and those that wanted Him dead at a distance watching. Speaking of the Pharisees and those ones that were there, and part of that nation that was there. But yeah, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He forgave. And we forgive. And how do we forgive? We forgive because greater is He that lives in us than he that lives in the world. We forgive because the Spirit of God in us enables us to forgive. And you pray and you ask God to do that in you. You say, "Father, Lord, in me, my desire is to do your will. And Lord, you've said in your word that I'm supposed to forgive. So Lord, I choose to do that which you've instructed me to do. And I choose, Lord God, please enable me to forgive, because I set my will to do it. And help me to do what I can't do in the natural, because I trust you, Lord. And I want to fulfill that which you've planned and purposed for me, in order to be what you made me to be." And God will do that in you. He will make the way for you in your heart. You got to trust Him. But as you trust Him, He will always lead you. He will always guide you. He will always make a way where there seems to be no way. And with that, hey, I love you guys. God bless you. Catch up with you again really soon. possibly from another country. Ha ha. All right, more to come. Hey, love you guys. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Hey, write us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.